Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
To play for the Reds since he went away, keeping out the goals was tough, so tough. David was a goalie in Spain. Fergie came along, said, "Won't you play for us?" He said, "You gotta hold on to every shot. You're gonna have to keep out every header and cross. You're not being beaten from the penalty spot. So come on, you'll win us a lot. Whoa, enough, David. Whoa, David De Gea, take a shot. He'll save it, I swear.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand. I'm Andy Mitten, sat with Steve Armstrong outside Barle train station. It's a beautiful November day. The temperature's about 16 and sunny. It's going to dip and be very cold tonight. But been for a walk down to the Rhine River and been walking around Basel, whichever way you want to call it. I last came here when United last played here, in December 2011, when Basel knocked Manchester United out of the competition. And what I remember about that night was Roy Keane being very critical of Sir Alex Ferguson and seeing Ferguson afterwards and one of the journalists saying, "Are you aware what Roy Keane's just said about you?" And Ferguson just scowling back and saying, "Roy realised how difficult football management can be." And it was a really clever put down because it was true, and Sir Alex Ferguson was a far better football manager than Roy Keane ever was. So this podcast is brought to you by Red Army Bet. Go to the website redarmybet.com for the latest odds and offers. There's loads of United specials on there, and 50% of the net proceeds profits go back into United fan projects. I'm with Steve Armstrong. You look like you've had a drink, Steve.
Yeah, I don't feel very well.
Tell me your trip so far.
We flew out of Manchester to Zurich yesterday morning. So we got here about, we got the train from Zurich into Basel, and then dumped the bags like you do, and then off out. So it was and we turned it in at 7:30 this morning.
What time did you start drinking yesterday?
7.
What time did you finish?
7:30. So 24 hours.
24 and a half hours.
Yeah, I'm a dick.
How you feeling?
I bet you've been in some fucking art gallery or something, haven't you?
You actually touched on a point there, because...
Seriously?
I don't normally go to art galleries.
You've been to a fucking gallery.
Right, alright. Alright. I came out of where I'm staying, and there's this thing called the Kunst Museum.
And
I thought, the Kunst Museum. So I thought, I've got to Google this.
Was it full of them?
It can't be called the Kunst Museum. It said, world-renowned art gallery in Basel. So I went to the door, and I said, "I'm a journalist, can I come in this art gallery?" And she said, "Yeah, I'll let you in for free." So it should be €25. So I walked in to this world-renowned art museum, and I was the only person there, modern art. It's one of the shittest things I've done in my life. There's a pile of bricks on the floor in a room, and that was it.
Do you remember when I saw you? I'd been drinking for about 2 days in Bilbao, and I caught you going into Guggenheim.
That was the last time, seriously, I went in a museum, and that was only because my wife came with me on that trip.
The best thing about Guggenheim was...
the building.
No, the dog outside.
Yeah, the dog's good, but inside is like... I just don't have the intellect to work out why something is...
Yeah. But anyway, we got here obviously yesterday afternoon. We had a late night, and I'm at that point now today where I'm on about my fifth or sixth drink, and none of them have worked yet. So it's been a long old day, and it's freezing as well. So, but it's quite funny actually, because a couple of our mates have gone to Germany because it's cheaper.
For a beer, I saw people doing that before.
So you can actually walk across the border.
The fabled €3 beer.
The €3
beer. And how much are these ones here?
We were paying £9 a pint.
£9?
Last night, yeah.
Jeez.
It's not the place to do a 24-hour session, but we did.
It was definitely not.
Yeah, it's obscene. I mean, I don't know how they get away with it, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, it's an utterly pointless country as well.
It's a neutral country.
Me and my mate Drew here we reckon if there was a World Cup of pointlessness, Switzerland would play Belgium in the final.
What has Switzerland ever done?
Toblerones.
Yeah.
Swiss Army knives.
Yeah, but they've not got an army.
And watches.
Watches.
Yeah.
Banking system. I'm trying to think. It's got nice.
They're all right. They had a good couple of good skiers in the 80s.
Where was Franz Klammer from? He's the only skier I knew.
Franz Klammer, I think, was Austrian. Hermann Zurbriggen was Swiss.
I remember him. He used to watch Ski Sunday.
I loved Ski Sunday.
Conrad Bartel skate. Well, he did come second.
Yeah, but he didn't know what he was doing. He just fell head first down the whole thing, and just he just stood on his feet and got. Yeah, I think that was at Val Gardena.
I don't know where it was.
I'm just sounding like a ski. I've just been slagging you off for going in a museum, and I'm starting to sound like a skiing nerd.
Can you remember the theme tune to Ski Sunday?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was. No, I'm not going to say. No, but do you know what? But do you know what though? When you were growing up, you knew that it was like your Sunday dinner, Ski Sunday, then your bath for school the next day. And that was it. Yeah, it was your routine, wasn't it?
And so, when Bartelski came second, that was like jumping up off the sofa moment.
Yeah, no one got near it. Yeah, I still think it's the. I think Martin Bell came eighth in one.
I remember him as well.
Like that,
you're taking me back to my childhood here. Yeah. And the next skiing I saw was Eddie the Eagle, who came 88 in 88.
What a idiot that man! I couldn't be doing with him. Absolute.
What'd you do if the Eagle walked in?
I don't know what I'd do. Actually, I'd probably take the piss out of him. Now Neil Custis has gone.
Neil was just having a drink in here.
He's fair game, fair play. He's had a lot of chirp.
Yeah, he is
fair game. And,
to be fair to Neil, he'll often come and have a drink with fans.
He's always been good to United, we stand.
And he had a beer with us in Texas before the game over there.
What, the DIY shop?
No. And he was always good value. How are you feeling about the game tonight?
It's not a dead rubber, but it's nearly one, isn't it? You know, United need to just. It'll be one of them where United aren't through yet, but another result somewhere else will end up probably sending United through. So I think it's a good opportunity to maybe give Zlatan a start. Maybe another opportunity for Pogba to get a bit of game time under his belt. So I'm looking forward to that. I spoke to you before the game on Saturday, and I thought the buzz around Old Trafford, especially when Zlatan came on, it was amazing. And I just think there's a real good feel factor around the club at the minute, and I think it's good that you know we've had a couple of good weeks, and I think you know United tonight should probably just find it a bit pretty routine, I would imagine. I'm not expecting United to have a tough night tonight. I don't expect it to be like the last time we came here when we got dumped out.
I know, it's a mad one that.
Well, it was weird actually, because I heard you talking about Roy Keane. We were staying in the hotel next door to the one that him and all the ITV crew were staying in. And as you know, me and he's not my favourite person, and he certainly wasn't my favourite player.
Great player, Keane.
He was a great player, and I'm not disputing that. But
better than Robson Keane.
Fuck.
Carry on. Tell us.
No. He was being even quite opinionated about United in the pub the night before.
Was it?
To us lot, you know what I mean? And
on that trip, Andy Cole and Gary Pallister came with United, and I think it was like an executive trip. And the next morning, Cole got a phone call from Roy Keane at like early doors, and he'd not spoken to him for a couple of years. And Roy was ranting down the phone to him, saying, "Why did you Pally go and watch Coldplay last night and not invite me? And Cole's like, what? I'm in Bar. I've never seen Coldplay in my life. I've never, what are you on about? You and Pally went to watch Coldplay singing last night.
He's an angry man, isn't he?
He said, I didn't. And there's a singer from Manchester called Cole Page, who's a United fan.
Seriously. Oh, brilliant.
Who'd been on the trip. And Roy had got his wires slightly crossed. But
Slightly like Four Candles sketch, innit?
Go on.
No, it's, do you know, you must have seen the scene, Ronnie. You've never seen Four Candles.
No way. No, I'm not seeing
it. Oh, mate. You're going to sound an even bigger knob now to everyone listening to this.
All right, I can take that.
We'll Google it in a minute. I'll show you.
You can't explain it.
But it's a classic example of like miscommunication and the impact that it can have on. But yeah, he was having a proper good. He was fairly open, but he was having a good, an absolute rant about this, that, and the other. That was actually the night. You know, sometimes you meet people who. Who you think are going to be an absolute colossal knob, and they end up being all right. Adrian Charles that night was in the same pub. Absolutely great lad. You know what I mean? Really, really chatty, dead helpful, dead friendly, and all that kind of stuff. He was dead good to us all. So, but yeah, last time here it wasn't great, but I think tonight. I mean, we're just got us through, aren't we? So
yeah,
and we work on. You know, you want your three trips before Christmas, and then you want at least one more after Christmas, and you know we're definitely going to get that, I think.
You talk about miscommunication, and you've prodded my memory here of one thing I saw on an away trip in Copenhagen in the treble season when it was raining outside Bromby. That's right. And I went in a bar and I saw Tony O'Neill in there. Tony's been on his podcast before. And the bar started filling up, and a few of the lads who were selling T-shirts came in there, and they were bemoaning how terrible it was because no one was buying them because it was November in Copenhagen and it was raining. And separately, another lad came in and said that he was really struggling because he had no Danish money and he was looking to change some money. So O'Neill said, watch this. And it's just magnificent what happened next. He went up to the lad who wanted to change sterling into Danish kroner and went, here, mate, he'll sort you out over there. And then he went to the lad selling T-shirt and went, putting a lot of business your way now. The lad who wanted the money walks up and says, 200 quid. So the lad thinks he's about to sell £200 worth of T-shirts. Hands over the £200, expects like the equivalent in krona.
See you later.
And suddenly he's handed like 27 T-shirts, which is just brilliant. Just brilliant. With the bar that we're in, fully United fans, Jamo, how's your trip been?
Yeah, it's been top, mate, so far. Got here yesterday. Haven't really slept since. But
don't look at me, blame me for it.
It is your fault, really, Samo, to be fair.
How long have you been awake?
Right, I started blinking longer than you normally would blink about 7 o'clock this morning, and then eventually gave up the ghost about 12 and just
got
up. How
much sleep did you have last night?
It was longer blinks. It wasn't sleep. It was just like, bang. I'm not going to lie, the first beer today in the YMCA we're staying in was a bit...
First beer in the YMCA?
Staying in the YMCA?
Yeah, it's good.
What is it?
Young men. No, it is actual proper rooms in that. And they've set the temperature at 180 degrees in every single one of them, which isn't that helpful.
Is it the one by the river?
No, it's out the back of that, the train.
Because bars, it's really expensive, isn't it? I had to do the same thing because I was looking at hotels and it was off the scale.
I can't remember even what we paid for this because it's so long ago since we booked it. But
have you met any fellow young Christians?
Fellow young Christians? Ah, oh, mate. Listen.
It's actually one letter away from being called the Hotel Appalling.
It's got Appalling in the name.
That hotel has actually got Appalling in the name. Appalling Living.
Yeah. We got a taxi last night, me and Drew. He says, take us to the Hotel Appalling. And he just wouldn't stop saying it until the guy gave in and went, get in, you dick.
Did he take you straight there?
Yeah, took us straight there. And I ended up leaving our hotel at, I don't know, 6:30, got a taxi. I hadn't even got my seatbelt on, and the guy went, we're here. I went, right, okay, how much is that? 13 Swiss francs.
Yeah. Put that on your next magazine.
The appalling hotel, yeah, it is. What's Switzerland good for?
It's expensive lager.
Is there anything good about Switzerland?
Oh, no, it's a nice place in that. Yeah, the people have all been really nice and all the rest of it, and it's easy to get about.
Name three famous Swiss people.
Stefan Schaffwiesat.
Who's that?
He scored for Switzerland in Euro 96.
Okay, that's one.
That's right.
God, you've got to name three famous Swiss people.
Are there three famous Swiss people, or is this a...
Go on.
Three famous Swiss people. Heidi.
Heidi.
Christian Gross.
Christian Gross. Yeah.
Struggling now. Struggling.
There's just lots of pauses here now.
Toblerone.
I'll ask these now. I'm just going to speak to some of the lads. Rick's here, who does the covers for United We Stand. Rick, name three famous Swiss people.
Oh, Sepp Blatter, Poirot, and Jeff Milker, the inventor of Milka chocolate.
Seriously? Danny, name three famous Swiss people.
Swiss Tony. Big Dave Swiss. And, oh, Martina Hingis.
What is... Is Switzerland good for anything?
Watches.
Watches. Anything else?
Toblerone. And it's very clean. Very clean.
Dan, name three famous Swiss people.
Three famous Swiss people. Granit Xhaka. Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan?
Definitely Swiss. Definitely Swiss. And Amir Khan. There you go.
Rick, you do the covers for United We Stand. Have you got anything planned for the next one?
Yeah, very Christmassy feel next time. Got a bit of grief off the last one.
You did?
Yeah, no, but fair enough. I take criticism on board. It's fine.
Roger Federer, everyone's saying.
No, still Jeff Milker for me.
He's not Swiss.
Inventor of the Milker bar.
Really?
Yes.
Jeff
Milker. And also Toby Larone.
Toby Larone.
Toby Larone.
I'm not having that. Toby Larone. They're trying to tell me that someone called Toby Larone is from Switzerland. Right, we're going to walk around the other corner of the bar, and there's a couple of United We Stand writers here. And Matt, Tom, you're on the United We Stand podcast. Name three famous Swiss people.
Sepp Blatter, is he Swiss?
Someone said him. I always thought he was from Sweden, but I might be wrong.
He's not from Sweden.
Sepp Blatter. I don't know.
I'm going to say
he worked here.
Any more corrupt UEFA functionaries?
If they're Swiss, then you can get them right.
Disappointing tally from Matt Ford. Let a professional take over.
Go on.
Martina Hingis, obviously.
Yeah.
Roger Federer, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then the third one, and this is surely the most influential person that's ever been active in Swiss society. That's a gentleman who, to you and me, who've been in Switzerland for more than 24 hours, is simply known as Swiss Jockey.
Right.
But that's also, he has dual nationality. He's also Scottish and he's also called Brian McClair. That's when he's been eating a bit of Milker and it's melted into his beard. Swiss Jockey, surely the most influential Swiss gentleman ever to tread the boards.
My favourite one so far is Heidi from Mill. So, looking at, on the bar here, and there's some stickers saying Ralph Milne Ultras. What's the story behind these?
You'd have to ask Tom, to be perfectly honest.
Can someone tell me what the story behind the Ralph Milne Ultras is? Well, we had an article in United We Stand about it, didn't we? The people who you might know might put these stickers around different places.
We really can't say too much.
Okay, so don't... Well, what I'll say is, I went to Watford on Sunday and I saw Man City, something like the Crazy Crew, Ibiza Blues, Totally Wired stickers. I thought, that's the most cringeworthy sticker I have ever seen.
We've already dealt with those, that's been sorted.
Oh, you've dealt with them. The Ibiza Blues. are you feeling about the game in United this season?
I think it's surprising that we've won 4 out of 4 games in the Champions League and we've still not qualified out of this group. I'm not sure if that's happened before or if that's got precedent, but it's, yeah, one more point and we're done. So I'm happy with that. That's the way Mourinho approaches these games, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's pragmatic. He knows what he wants from the games. Good example of that was in Lisbon, where I thought we probably could have gone for that Benfica side, who I believe aren't even taking the Champions League that seriously. But no, we went there, got what we had to do, and we'll do this. We'll do the same tonight, I expect.
We've got Danny Higginbottom coming up on the podcast shortly. I met him the other day, and we talked about tactics from United this season. I met him in Brighton actually, and Brighton are United's opponents this season. Tom, tell me 5 things about Brighton.
Absolutely magnificent seaside town.
Okay, one. I'll let you have that.
Bears a certain reputation, which may or may not be correct. However, what I can say is that on the sole occasion that I went out there, I noticed a spectacular array of attractive girls. So that's information. The Grand Hotel is a very fine spot for a mate of mine who's made himself a few quid to have his staff Christmas party every year.
Right,
I'd recommend it, but you'll need deep pockets to stay there. Number 4.
That's the one which was bombed, wasn't it, at the Tory Party conference. That was the Grand Hotel.
What sort of friends has Tom got?
Yeah. Correct. Usually about 9 days before the 25th of December. It hasn't been bombed yet in the last 4 years. I'm hoping that trend continues because I'm going this year as well.
You're doing all right on Brighton, eh?
No. You're dealing with a local expert. I've spent at least 50 hours there in the last 4 years. Right. Further, parking charges, diabolical. Absolutely terrible. And furthermore, my good friend who I met today just outside this bar, whose name is Basil Brush, once went on holiday there on a camping trip.
Right, that sound. Cheers, lads. I'm going to carry on through the bar. I'm just going to see who's about. Then I'm going to get into the...
Roger Federer is Swiss.
Roger Federer, yeah. Everyone's got the Roger Federer. So I'll go to the ground and then we'll see where else is... I'm with Danny Higginbottom. Danny's a Manchester lad, grew up as a United fan, started out at Manchester United, had a very good career, played Premier League football and is doing well now in the football media. He's very, very strong on tactical analysis. Danny, cheers for speaking to United We Stand. You watch Manchester United quite a lot. What do you make of the way Mourinho has got his team playing this season?
I think one of the things that stands out is that Pogba, you know, people talk about the money that was paid for him. I think it's proven to be a snip now, because when he's not in the team, you know, he proves to be a big miss. I think he brings the best out in Lukaku. When you've got players like Lukaku, Rashford, Martial, they all want to play on the shoulder of the opposition, so therefore the teams are going to drop deep. There's no space in behind, but what happens then is a big gap forms between the midfield and the defence of the opposition, and that in my opinion is what Pogba brings to Manchester United. He's got all the tricks and everything, but the way he can carry the ball so quickly. You've got Matic. I think Matic is a player that, when you look at a player, the difference between a good player and a great player is that they bring the best out in players around him, and that's what Matic does. I think everybody's quick to judge Manchester United, everybody's quick to judge Mourinho, they can't wait to do it. Regardless of whether I'm a United fan or not, I would never buy that. I think at times obviously it can be frustrating, but they do score goals, they are scoring goals, they've got a fantastic defensive record, and Manchester City, unfortunately, you have to say they are probably the best team in Europe at the moment. And I think any other season, Manchester United would probably be sitting pretty at the top of the league. But as in terms of Manchester United, I look at its progression. The team is constantly getting better all the time. Van Gaal, I said at the time, so I'm not speaking out of turn. It wasn't great to watch. It would be 15 passes to get somewhere, you could get in 3 or 4. Whereas now, it just looks like Manchester United are playing with a sense of freedom and able to go out there and really do what they want to do, especially in that attacking third. And the big thing is, there's goals in different areas of the team, and that's something they've not had for a few years. You go back to the great Manchester United teams, you'd have midfielders getting 10, 12, 15 goals. That's someone like Pogba, he can do that, and not just be reliant on one player. You know, you've got Lukaku putting the ball into the back of the net, Martial, Rashford, Mata, Pogba as well, we've said. So there's plenty of people who can put the ball into the back of the net. So you always mark a team on progression, and Manchester United, in my mind, are progressing all the time, and you know, hopefully that will continue.
You mentioned Martial and Rashford. I've just written a piece about them, and I've been looking at the statistics and obviously watching them play a lot. They both scored and assisted pretty much the same number, and on Saturday against Newcastle, Jose Mourinho played them in the same team for the first time. I suspect he doesn't fully trust them both to play against the biggest teams at the moment, but I think it's moving towards that. And I think with Henrik Mkhitaryan not playing well, there's probably more opportunities for both of them. But as Mourinho said, they both want to play on the left.
Yeah.
How do you see them fitting in? And is it a case of, as they get a little bit older, they become more consistent and more effective and make fewer mistakes?
Yeah, I think he's more mature. I think that one of the things that you could say about Mourinho, I always believe if you're a team that's going to have high possession, which is usually the bigger and the better team, which is Manchester United in most cases, you have to have four defensive-minded players. So with Manchester United, they'll have their two central, two centre-backs, they'll have Matic and a full-back, depending on which side the ball's going down, or if they want to play three at the back, they'll have Matic sitting. So they always have to have that. But in my mind, you know, people talk about, oh, well, Rashford's a centre-forward or Martial's a centre-forward. When you play the system that Mourinho plays, especially when if either of them's playing on the left, they naturally go into that right that centre-forward position. I think the beauty of if one of them's playing on the right is that you're always going to have Valencia going down the outside of you, so you don't have to worry about keeping the width. So if the both of them can play in the team, I believe that they can. It's all about then, like Mourinho will probably be thinking behind them when they lose the ball, can they do the defensive side of things? Now, if you play with a three, then you have Matic, you've got that four there. Or if you play with a four at the back, you can have your two centre-backs, Matic, and then maybe one more defensive-minded full-back out of the two, and you've still got that four. And because I believe the bigger the team you are, the more open you are to the counter-attacks, you have more possession, you push further forward, and I think that's something that Mourinho's very aware of.
Why does he play three sometimes at the back?
It's... sometimes it might be to match up the opposition. Other times it might be because he wants to get an extra man in midfield. The important thing is, though, if you're going to play with three at the back, one of your centre backs has to be able to step out with the ball. I think that's important. That's key. And that's what Manchester United need to be able to do when they're playing with three at the back. They've got ready made. When people say you play three at the back, wing backs are full backs anyway. So that doesn't concern me because they do the same thing.
Because Valencia and Ashley Young is doing very well.
He's been brilliant. He's been fantastic. He has been since the day he stepped in at Manchester United, whatever position he's been asked to play. So that doesn't concern you. It's what centre back's going to step out with the ball. And then it enables you to, if you wanted to, it enables you to play two up front. It enables you to have an extra man in midfield. So people are saying that it's the way to go now, but it's different people's aspects and how they think about it in the game. Obviously, we saw Chelsea; they were the ones that really got it going. We've seen Manchester City now doing it on numerous occasions, but I think it's the flexibility to be able to do that. You know, the amount of times that I've seen Manchester City in the last year and a half, and I've set them up as a 4-3-3, and they've actually been playing three at the back. So, you know, it can be the element of surprise as well, and seeing how other teams can deal with it.
Could you see Ibrahimovic and Lukaku playing up front together in the same team?
I think I would love to say yes, but I don't know whether I could. Whether he would say, okay, well, Lukaku's not a number 10 and Ibrahimovic isn't a number 10, so the only way they could play is if they were both going to play. As a partnership, I think they've worked fantastically well, because we know that Ibrahimovic is very good dropping deep, creating space in behind, but it's the rest of the team then, how does that work around them? Because realistically, Ibrahimovic and Lukaku, they're not defensive minded centre forwards that are going to drop in to make a five. So if you're going to do that, then somewhere further behind them, you've got to put an extra defensive player. So it would be a dream to see them, but reality, I'd be very surprised to see it.
Finally, I mentioned Rashford and Martial. I've spoken to people who know them, who've played with them. They eventually see both of them being central players. At the moment, it seems they're putting the hard yard in, playing out wide, like Wayne Rooney did for a time. And as he matured, he played in a more central role.
You say Ronaldo as well.
And Ronaldo. What happened to him after...
don't know. I don't think he ever went there after United, did he? I think he's doing all right.
Could you see that when them lads are 25, 26, playing as a central role, or maybe as a 10, a sort of like Griezmann's done?
I think it all depends, because it depends what, if they're still at Manchester United, what manager's in charge then, you know. Because I've seen 4-3-3s before with three centre forwards.
Yeah, like Barcelona, the way they play it.
Exactly, yeah. So it all, people will always go, oh yeah, well he wants to be the central striker and things like that. More often than not now, the central striker doesn't play in the centre.
Messi will often drop right back.
Yeah. He's taken the old...
He'll go right, he'll go left.
He's taken the old Xavi role.
Within a game, he'll do 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, and switch over.
That's why everybody talks about the false number nine now. The false number nine creating space. And you've just spoken about Messi. He now drops into the old Xavi role on that right-hand side. And then there'll be a lot of interchange in amongst them. So
I don't see things as when you used to talk 4-4-2, your full backs, your wings, your two centre forwards. I don't see that now. More often than not, it's one centre forward, and there will be other centre forwards on the pitch, but there's only that 4-2-3-1 or a 4-5-1. But within a 4-3-3, there's nothing to say that you couldn't have Lukaku, Martial and Rashford as a front three. Your midfield behind it would have to be defensive minded, maybe two sitting and one box to box, and a defensive minded fullback. But whether you're actually starting in the middle, it doesn't mean to say you can't end up in the middle. I actually believe that some of the better centre forwards actually play on the left or the right because they're driving into that space.
Yeah.
Believe me, when I was a fullback, the last thing I wanted was someone going on the inside of me.
Neymar did that brilliantly. Yeah. When he played at the last
time. I didn't like it because they're going onto my weaker foot and they're driving inside. The minute they drive inside, you all of a sudden they're into their stride. Mm. Whereas a centre forward at times you can be a little bit restricted to where you have to go. So I just think it's all about the movement. And people may say, "Oh yeah, Roma playing with one forward, but there's actually three forwards on the pitch." So Martial and Rashford, they can play anywhere within that system and score goals and actually end up in the centre forward position.
Finally, in Europe this season, do you see Manchester United are good enough to win it, or do you still think that there's some way off?
No, bizarrely enough, in Europe I think they've got a better opportunity than in the Premier League, because I would fancy Mourinho against anybody in two legs. We saw his Inter Milan team, what happened with Barcelona.
I was in the stadium that night.
Yeah, well, we saw Porto, what they did to Manchester United. Yeah. So over two legs, I think Mourinho, okay, the Europa League isn't as strong, but we saw what he did last season. You know, he has got the mentality of, okay, we'll go away and we'll get that nil and then we'll come back and we'll beat them. So as bizarre as it sounds, I would actually put them in a better position to win the Champions League than the Premier League, because when it gets to, you know, the two legs, when you go out of the group stages, I think that's when Manchester United come to their own.
Thanks for your time, Danny.
No problem, mate.
So there's half an hour to kick off. I'm underneath one of the stands at FC Ball Stadium. There's a really good atmosphere. People are eating and drinking. All the restaurants and all the bars are very full, and I've just come to speak to a couple of Basel supporters. What's your name?
Luciano.
How do you feel about the game against Manchester United?
No, I hope we make a good game this night, and I hope also that Basel won.
Tell people listening to this about Basel the city, because people don't know so much about the city of Basel.
Oh, I think the most important of the Basel city, a special thing is that we are a typical chemical city.
Yeah.
Here is the headquarter from the biggest and the most valuable chemical enterprises, and we have a very very funny carnival here in February. We have 3 days.
In February
we have here 3 days.
What's the temperature like in February?
Very very cold and snowy and rainy, and it could be that we have also good weather, but normally it's very cold. But all the kids are on the street, all the people on the street. On 3 o'clock in the morning, the same Basel city in town, all the lights go up, and the people are on the streets, and we have a big cortege that we walk together all together. Big music. This is one of the most special from Basel. And also in June we have the most important art in Basel, art exposition. And this is worldwide, because we have here in Basel one and in Miami two. Okay. We have Miami Basel art and Basel art in Basel.
Can you swim in the river, in the Rhine?
Yes, why not? There's no problem.
But not in February.
No, February. We have crazy people in Magnus.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But is it not too strong? I saw today the water looks very strong, the current.
Yes, but we see what is the strong current, and we know in which point we can go to swim. But not in February. In May, June, July, you see a lot of people that swimming in the rain.
Who are the main rivals for FC Basel? Which is the biggest rivalry? Which of a team?
The biggest, sorry?
Rivalry. The biggest game for you domestically in the Swiss league.
Ah, this is derby with Zurich.
Yeah.
You say this?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a typical derby.
Basel Zurich or Basel Grasshopper clubs in Zurich. This is the two biggest city in the Switzerland, in German Switzerland.
Yeah.
Zurich and Basel is it's all day a big derby in all other things, not only football, in the language, in the society. This is a big derby.
And what do people here say about people in Zurich? What describe the rivalry? Because if I spoke to somebody in Manchester and asked them to describe Liverpool, they might be quite interested. But I don't know what people say here.
We say, Basel say that the Zurich are arrogant.
Okay.
Arrogant, and where it's not, because Zurich is a walled city, and the Zurich people say to us, we are, farmers.
Yeah.
We are farmers because we are so a little bit smaller than Zurich. And we are not the fashion is not so our thing here in Basel. But Zurich people are very, very fashionable people. And this is the reason of this war.
And what about Geneva? Or is the rival more with the German-speaking parts? Geneva's French-speaking, yeah?
Yes.
And some cities are Italian-speaking.
Yes. We have four languages in Switzerland. We have German is the largest part. French is the second largest part. Italian is the dirty part. It's a small part of in the south of Switzerland. And then we have a region that is Romanic. It's a special accent with a mix from Italian and German, I can say so. Yes, we have three languages. When you go from here, in a half hour with the car, you pass the country, in county, and you pass in the French part of Switzerland, and this is also a derby because the French speak people are more Latino and we are more German or North people.
So even within this quite small country there are all these rivalries and regional differences. Does it get boring winning the league all the time, or are you just thinking this is a golden moment in our history
for Basel?
Yeah.
No, it's no, because we have a change in this season.
Yeah.
We have a new manager, Rafael Wicki, come from the U21 from FC Basel. I think we have a little bit of no problems, but it's not like the last years that we can go to the league and we can win the league from the first day to the last day.
So I was told they've changed the philosophy, more homegrown players, smaller budgets, and give the club a stronger identity this way.
That's the new concept from the new management. They say we change also the president. Bernard Häusler was here a lot of years, and now the new president with the new teams with Marco Strello, is a former striker from Basel, and this guy say that the youth league is important for Basel because we need identification with the region, with all Basel, and all the people, all the young kids. She's a manager from the kids, and she
You manage the smaller players.
U8.
And I know you said you can't speak English, but you look after. Just try a little bit of English. You look after the 8-year-old children of Basel.
8 and 9 years.
And there's some good football players of this age.
Very, very good players.
Yeah. And you come to all of the games of Basel. You watch the games here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And who is the most popular player now for FC Basel? Que jogador es más popular?
El más popular.
Yeah.
All of them.
Oh, we think one of the most popular of the players are quit now, Matias Delgado.
Yes.
Quit now in August, and now we have a lot of good players. My favorite player is Akanji, the defender. They play also in the Swiss national team, and I'm goalkeeper, and Thomas Vacek is a wonderful keeper.
You're a goalkeeper.
Yes, we are both trainer. I'm the trainer from the female team from FC Basel.
Okay,
yeah.
Fantastic.
And my favorite is Thomas Watchlick.
Yeah,
this is the reason because I was goalkeeper in my past.
What do you know about Manchester,
or England or Manchester United?
Listen, I am Juve fan.
Yeah.
Juventus Turin.
Okay.
That's my favorite club. And I love...
Why?
Yeah. Because my parents are Italian.
Okay.
And all my generation are Juventus fan. And I love Sir Alex Ferguson. Because I love Scholes, I love Giggs, I love all the big players in past from Manchester, because they have a good relationship with Juventus, with Marcello Lippi, for example. And Sir Alex Ferguson said one time that it's not important that you see Juventus at game, not the façon, the art of the game, but the mentality from Juventus. And I love all the Manchester, old people. Fantastic team, fantastic society. I look what you make, I listen what you make, and Scholes. For me, Scholes and Giggs. Van der Sar come from Juventus to Manchester. It's a fantastic team. I'm very, very enthusiast from Manchester.
And Patrice Evra went from Manchester to Juventus.
Oh, yeah, I love Patrice. But now it's not good. No,
he's good. He's fine.
He's
okay.
And he's made Cantona.
Well.
They made Cantona now.
Yeah, well, they're both very popular in Manchester, but maybe not in Marseille. So.
No, I think no. So, I hope that they come back to Juventus.
Yeah.
But it's too old. 36 years is a little bit too more.
Yeah, maybe as a coach.
Yeah.
After he's been a coach in Manchester. And what about England? What about the English people? What do you say here? Because if I ask people in Manchester about Switzerland, they would not know so much. It would be cliches. Chocolate, banking, watches, trains which run on time, mountains, expensive. You know, I'm just...
Very expensive, yes. Very expensive. What we think from the English people? Look, here in Basel, I think that the English culture is very, very accepted. Very accepted, because the Basel people have a big identification with English culture. We have not the same klima, but it's
more or less the same.
More or less the same, yes. And we have here a lot of Manchester United fans.
In Switzerland?
Yes, in Switzerland. I know really, really a lot of people that are Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool, maybe no London clubs, not so, but Manchester and Liverpool, this is the biggest county for the Swiss people. And we think from English folks, fish and chips, beer, bad weather, fantastic city like London. I'm not visit in my life Manchester, but I hope I can do.
It's a good city.
I hear only good.
Yeah,
I
it's changed good. A lot and it's improved a lot. And it's worth to visit.
I hope that I can come one time when you went to game play again Manchester and I come to Manchester.
I miss the games between Manchester United and Juventus, because between 1996 and 2003 there were, I think, seven or eight games.
Yeah.
Some amazing games. The best game I have ever seen in my life was Juventus 2 Manchester United 3 in Dele Alpi.
Yes, I know.
And,
I know.
And but in the first leg, this Juventus team was the best in the world.
Yes. In 1996, when they won the Champions League.
Yeah.
That was so. Yes.
And I remember in '96 going to Dele Alpi when Alan Boksic scored the header.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to some of the Manchester players who you've mentioned.
Yeah.
And they said it was the only time they felt they were not capable to compete.
Yeah.
That it was boys against men.
Yes, yes.
They just said it was impossible.
And so I hope for me that I can go come to Manchester to visit the Old Trafford, because it's a legend, Old Trafford. And I hope I can meet Sir Alex Ferguson. It's a fantastic man.
Just go around to his house. That's what we do in England.
Yeah?
Just say I've come from Basel and
okay,
take him some water from the Rhine and some chocolate and everything will be good.
No problem. I'll bring a new watch.
A new watch, yeah. He likes watches.
Ah, yeah.
Expensive ones.
Oh, yes.
Okay, finally, predict the score for tonight. I'm going to say 2-1 to Manchester United, and I've predicted the last two scores correct on this podcast. And you as well.
I'm very, very. I'm not so good to make predictions, but I think this night we have a surprise, and Basel won 1-0.
Finally, prediction, please.
For Basel, 3-2.
Okay. Thank you for your time. The game just finished disappointing, actually, because Manchester United were by far the better team in the first half, had loads of possession. Marouane Fellaini had three headers. And the second half, bar got stronger. United looked a little bit ragged and conceded a goal in the 89th minute. Looked like Darmian was caught out from where I was. So the 100% record has gone. I think United can still lose and still go through as group winners. There's a mathematical chance that United can't go through as group winners, but it's not a full dead rubber, and it is a few days before the Manchester derby. You need to look at the maths of it all. I'm stood here shivering outside the grounds, surrounded by Swiss people, and Paddy Crerin's just walking up to me now. Paddy. And David May's there as well. I'm cold. What'd you make of that, David?
I think you just summed up there, mate. Had loads of possession in the first half. Should have scored. Should have took one of our chances. Mukaku had a one-on-one. Fellaini cleared off the line. Disappointing second half, as you said there. Mateo Darmian got caught out a little bit for the goal. And, you know, they lifted the roof and won the game 1-0. But disappointing, of course it is. Because, you know, we wanted to go as... get through this game, get a point that we needed to become champions of the league or of the table, and we have to now fucking get something against CSK. So disappointing, yeah.
Rojo did well, didn't he? Come back.
Rojo was fantastic, yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Because Pogba's been brought off after 60-65 minutes, yeah. But he played right through. I saw him go and speak to the manager after 79 minutes, and he's a decent player, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I'm going to go and try and speak to him now, actually.
He is. He's done his chances of playing Saturday absolutely no harm. In fact, he probably deserves to play because he was one of the brightest sparks in what was poor second half for us.
There's a couple. Pogba just looks miles better than anyone to me, you know, and I look at him on the pitch. He's just... And I look at Real Madrid and I watch a lot of European football, and they've got four or five players like that.
Yeah.
And United have got a lot of good players, but... there aren't the number. You know, Pogba's going to be a great player, isn't he?
Well, he's only what, 24, 25. Yeah. He's head and shoulders above everybody on that pitch,
isn't
tonight.
Isn't he?
Absolutely head and shoulders.
And on Saturday, as well.
Just ran the show. Yeah. He ran the show, and
even when he loses the ball, he takes it that long, he gets it back.
Right? And when he came up tonight, we just lost that little bit of momentum and impetus.
He's got a bit of the magic as well, hasn't he? If he goes past people. That goal on Saturday against Newcastle when he crossed it in. He's a belting player.
Top player.
Just like to see more of his standard.
Yeah.
And I get excited when I see like Martial and Rashford as well. I think they'll improve and come to being better.
Potentially, got all the potential in the world. But at the moment, Pogba's the one who's pulling all the strings, and he's the one who makes United tick.
Brighton next at Old Trafford. Can we run through the entire Brighton squad, please? Number 1 to 24. Why don't you tell me 7 different things about them?
No. Podifini was there.
You ever been to Brighton?
Yeah, I want 100 quid in it.
Paddy, this is Mr. Crerin. Have a safe journey back to Manchester. Just say hello.
Hello, how are you all?
What do you want to answer back on a podcast when you're driving in the car? Right, take care, David.
Take care, pal.
So I'm just walking away from the stadium. The main stand was designed by some of the world's best architects. It's very wealthy, this place. You see lots of families. There's not a pound shop in the precinct. He's getting it mixed up with Middleton Arndale. Is there an Arndale in Middleton?
Of course there is.
There's one in Stretford as well.
Hey. I believe that's the top place. Is it fucking Arndale?
Yeah.
And there's a mega bingo.
There's a mega bingo. Do you reckon there's an Arndale in Basel? I'm going to go searching for one tonight. That's going to be my task. So I'm going to go back into town. And see you, David. See you, Paddy. And in fact, I'm going to go and try and speak to Marcus Rojo. Don't know how that's going to go. I'm not going to put him on air even if I do, because he doesn't speak English. Just need to find a mix on. So, disappointing night. We'll do the next podcast from Brighton. I'm going to catch a train up the Rhine to Cologne Arsenal Thursday. I've got a West Ham Leicester on Friday. And then I've got the Brighton game on Saturday. And then I'm going to see my wife and children. And I miss them greatly. I really do. On Sunday, if I survive the freezing night in Bath. Now, it's not that cold, actually. It's about 4 degrees, but it's not freezing. Right, I'm going to
going to upload this, and I hope that you've all enjoyed listening to it and to the people who we've had on this podcast. Until Saturday, goodbye.
To play for the Reds since he went away, keeping out the goals was tough, so tough. David was a goalie in Spain. Fergie came along, said, "Won't you play for us?" He said, "You gotta hold on to every shot. You're gonna have to keep out every header and cross. You're not being beaten from the penalty spot. So come on, you'll win us a lot. Whoa, enough waving. Whoa, David De Gea, take a shot. He'll save it, I swear. Whoa.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.